Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hi, my name's Ray Lyon, and I'm the Associate Director at Missouri Training Institute. I am so excited to welcome Debbie Cummings, and she's the City of Columbia, Missouri's HR Training Coordinator. So that's exciting, but oh my gosh, she's also a former radio DJ.
I promise not to use my radio voice.
Ooh, I want you to, because that is so super cool. But I have her here for the reason to just talk about training and the impact training has. And of course, we've come off a really weird year.
Agreed.
And sometimes, you know, when budgets are tight, training is the first thing that gets dumped. But and we're going to get to that. But I want to start with some fun stuff, Debbie. So give me a funny story.
Okay, well, funny, I don't know. Embarrassing.
There you go.
I remember when I first started with the City of Columbia, one of the things that I was tasked to do working in HR was to deliver training on sexual harassment. And I thought, well, that can't be too difficult. So I put the training together, had a nice about 7-minute video ready to play. I go out to our landfill and am delivering that training to our employees, and up comes the video. Hit play. And as Megan Trainor says, their lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. And so I immediately switched into radio mode. And I'm like, I know this video. So I just started talking in my radio voice as if it was me who had recorded that. And they looked at me like, oh, wow. Oh, so this is what sexual harassment training sounds like. And so, you know, from there, it was all good.
Oh, my gosh. So you were like dubbed in live for those characters.
Yep,
wow.
I was. So I'm glad I knew the text.
Yeah, no doubt.
So
I can't believe that, first of all, that you'd even think sexual harassment was an easy topic to train.
It isn't. But, you know, it is what you make it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, when you think about training, what's the importance of that with organizations?
I think for us, and the perspective that I have taken since I started City University here at the City of Columbia was, what are things that we're mandated to have training on? And what is it that people are most likely to resist as it pertains to training? And it's a lot of that required stuff. It's the sexual harassment. It's the following our ordinances. And so more often than not, I try to develop our training courses around our ordinances, our best practices, things like that, so that our employees are doing the right things, not only internally, but also for the members of our community, too.
Yeah. You know, from the participants' perspective, so those City employees. I mean, we're talking like how many would you say?
We have a total of a little more than 1,500 employees.
Wow. And so when I think about 1,500 and getting them trained, so from their perspective, I'm going to imagine that a lot of that is required.
It is.
What does that do to their motivation?
The position that I take with it is, you may be required to be here, but let's have fun and learn something while you're here. One of the terms that I learned when I came to the City of Columbia is I've been mandatold to attend this. I've been told by my boss or my supervisor that or my manager that I have to attend this training. And so I like to try to find that with them. The what's in it for me, for those participants. And why do you think maybe we're having this discussion, or why, how does this pertain to you and your work unit or your work area? Or how can you apply this as you go back into, say, a field working position or back to an office? And so I think that's key, so that they don't feel as though, oh, here we go again. Another training that I have to go to. And we've really built, I think, the relationships with a lot of our employees where they look forward to attending training. I don't know how many emails over the course of this last year with COVID where we've kind of shut things down, mm-hmm. where we've had employees email or call and say, when are you all starting training again?
Mm-hmm.
When can we come back to class? Or even if they're working remotely and working from home, when are you going to be offering online training classes for us to participate in again? So I think we've reached a point over the course of several years where they look forward to it and they don't see it as something that's mandated.
Good. So I'm hearing like the relationships.
Absolutely.
Bring them. And then the engagement.
Yes.
I mean, from your perspective, thinking about why would they want to be here? What are they going to right. be able to take back and apply? That's going to be helpful.
Absolutely. And I know one of the things that Missouri Training Institute definitely supports is strengths-based culture.
Mm-hmm.
So changing that point of view and that perspective, not only at the non-supervisory employee level, but also the managers and supervisors, and getting them to think beyond just a job title. How can we strengthen your teams that probably look very different than what they did 5-10 years ago? And what are those employees' strengths and how can you capitalize on that to make things work versus yeah. always focusing on we're creating a training to solve this problem.
So what would you say is your most memorable moment?
I think for me, the most memorable moment in training, and I've shared this story openly, is when I was doing leadership training and we were talking about your professional reputation in the organization and how that impacts whether or not you're considered for lateral moves or promotional opportunities within our organization. That reputation means a lot because 1,500 is a pretty small group of folks and we all kind of know one another. And so we were talking about what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? What do you plan to do at the end of the day? Short and long-term goals, really. And one employee said very candidly, 5 years, I'm retired. And most conversations, I think, would stop there. And I said, that's great. What's your legacy going to be?
Good one.
And she kind of looked at me and I could see the wheels spinning. And I'm like, I know there are promotional opportunities for you. Now, if you choose to take it, that's great. But do you want your, superiors to say when you submit that paperwork for retirement, man, what are we going to do without them? Or goodbye, good riddance. And can we have a party for you when you go?
Yeah.
And she reached out to me afterwards and said, I really thought a lot about that. And I am going to apply for that promotional opportunity. And I have you to thank for that, for getting
wow.
me to think on those terms. What's my professional reputation and what's my legacy going to be when I leave? And to this day, I still miss her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She's
yeah.
awesome. And, it's just one of those moments for me that I could see that light bulb going off in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she took the time to communicate with me what kind of an impact that had with her,
mm-hmm.
it gave me chills.
Yes.
It really did. It hit me, hit me in the soul. So.
Yes. Ooh, that gives me goosies.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that as an example,
because
that's cool. And that's what we all, I was a former school teacher,
mm-hmm.
high school, and we all crave that as teachers, as educators, as trainers.
That's kind of our validation.
Absolutely. And what I do, I go into organizations.
Yes.
I'm lucky enough to have been in yours, but I come in and then I'm gone, for
right.
months. And then I would come back in, so I may or may not see people. And that's kind of the sad part. So I don't get those moments
right.
with people often. So that's really cool. A lot of times people stay and quit,
Yes.
So she was really thinking the next 4-5 years, I'm just going to come to work, but I'm going to check out.
Right.
I'm just almost going to phone it in, so to speak.
Yes.
So, wow, that's really good for you to have
it
said
is.
That.
And, the unique thing, and I don't know that it's unique. I haven't experienced it prior to working for the City of Columbia. We have a lot of employees who retire and reapply and come back to work for the city, part-time or full-time, or maybe it's kind of underfilling.
Uh-huh.
For positions that have yet to be filled. And I remind people in our training courses that's wonderful. It's not guaranteed. The workforce and the work environment has changed such that just because you were here for 40 years and you want to come back doesn't mean we want you back. Right.
Hey, think about that.
Yeah. And so, when you think about when I show up for work every single day, Am I putting my best foot forward? And again, what legacy am I leaving behind? Do they want me back? And will they consider rehiring me? And I want to give employees that to think about as they get through their day, as they go through the struggles and everything else. You know, working with the public can be a challenge.
Yes. Working
with one another can be a challenge too sometimes. but, you know, being mindful of that as we go through each day. And if that's your plan, will they want you back?
Yeah.
And if not, you may have time to change the minds of some of those decision makers so that we welcome you back with open arms and can't wait to have you start again.
Yeah. Every day is a job interview.
It is. It really is. Yeah. And do you fail it or do you pass it?
Yeah. How does training impact then the organization? Because like I said, I think that's sometimes the one thing that gets cut from the budget, mm-hmm. the line item. You know, well, budgets got tight this last year due to yes. such uncertainty. But why should we still be advocating mm-hmm. to keep training in the budget?
A few things come to mind. One is from a legal standpoint, and I will often tell supervisors, if I have access to information that can help keep you out of court, let me impart that upon you, and especially new supervisors who may not be familiar with what it means to have to follow ordinances
yes.
And things like that. The other thing, too, is it typically costs an organization a person's annual salary times two when you have to replace them. And if we can be flexible a little bit, a little less rigid, which I know in my past life as a supervisor and a leader, I was definitely more rigid. I've learned from that, though. You know, if I can accommodate you and meet you at 50% of the way, I don't have to spend time setting up, sitting in interviews, trying to onboard someone, which is typically another, you know, 6 to 12 months to yeah. even get them to a point where they're comfortable and they can do work independently. If we can save that and work with one another, then it's advantageous. And more often than not, if I continue to hear the same words over and over and over again from my boss, oftentimes it sounds like the teacher from Peanuts.
Yes.
You know?
Wah, wah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And hearing it from another voice sometimes is just that slightest difference that it makes where a person hears that message, yeah. whatever it is. And so if I can be that voice for them and help them create teams and cohesive work units, utilize me to do that. And so that's one of the things I have tried to do the last several years, which is be known as that flexible knowledge repository in our organization. If you're having issues dealing with blank, let's reach out to Debbie mm-hmm. in City University and see if she has a training that she could deliver to my staff to help with this, or she can probably create something
sure.
that would be helpful for us. And I think that's of great value financially. Yeah. And also, since many of our employees are public facing, mm-hmm. it's important that we have as much knowledge and exercise good, effective customer service skills with our community as well, so that they will continue not to see us as an enemy, but as one of them.
Right, right. So investing in your people through training is actually less financially costly.
Absolutely.
Than, you know, having to turn them over due to some issue that's going on.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that, and that makes sense. I mean, that's, you can look that up. You can research that.
It's, you can.
There's,
and most organizations, large, small, in between, do some sort of performance management. If you don't have an effective understanding of how to create a relationship with your employees regarding performance management, understand your performance evaluations, your rating systems. What is it that I need to do as said employee to score whatever that highest rating is on my evaluation? I'm probably not going to be performing at your expectation. Mm-hmm. And you're the one who's signing off on my evaluation. Mm-hmm. So it takes a different level of training for leadership, as it does a different level of training and understanding for non-supervisory employees. So we work together, not against each other. And that's also a good value,
yeah,
I think, for our staff.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I often get the phone call from that manager or even the organization that doesn't have such a superstar training that isn't maybe mm-hmm. big enough like the city to have mm-hmm. someone in your position. So that's when they reach out to people like Missouri Training Institute. And, you know, the manager calls in or the HR person calls in and says, hey, you know, we've got this customer service issue or I've got this one employee that's doing this. You know, we really think we need this kind of training. And you find out it's actually the manager. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not yes. the employee, you know, it's the manager. Yes. How do you handle this? How do you tell the manager, no, it's you? You know, it's not the employee. It's you that needs the training. How do you deal with that?
Well, you don't tell them directly.
You want to. It's always the manager.
I lead with strategic, so I'm very strategic with this.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
You know, it's getting them, I think, to redirect and refocus on how they can work more effectively with those employees versus working against them. Oftentimes, I feel like with leadership and non-supervisory employees, there's that us versus them dynamic that happens. Every organization, I think, is confronted with, you know, that problem child, be them a supervisor or not supervisor. But it's, okay, so what could you do differently? How could you improve? How do you feel like you could meet them halfway and get them to think about how they can evolve as a person in that leadership position, which isn't asking them for the big C, which is change, which is scary, right? But it's asking them, how can you evolve? And how do you think they might respond in meeting you halfway? I would find that, I think, to be more effective. Not to say that if there's something that needs to be addressed, then you have that. It depends on your relationship again with that, you know,
sure.
manager or whatever.
Sure.
But you have that conversation and you do it based on your relationship. If yeah. they're open and receptive to hearing it, then great. You can open up the floodgates.
Yeah.
If not so much, then you do it very, very tactfully.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had those conversations mm-hmm. and, you know, through the dialogue and getting to know that person who's asking you to come and,
yes.
you know, fix it.
Yes.
Fix it. And you're like, ooh, it's really you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you do. You kind of put on that consultant's hat and mm-hmm. not so much the trainer's hat. And a question I always like to ask is, well, why do you think that? You know, why do you think, you know, basically what mm-hmm. I'm saying is, why do you think your team needs training?
Right.
You know, because training is really only one solution.
There's
so many other. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not Band-Aids and
no.
we're not brain surgeons.
Yeah.
So we can't change the whole dynamic. That responsibility falls on you.
Yeah.
And your team members, and how much effort and how much investment are you willing to put into that? I'm happy to be a part of that puzzle, but I'm not the whole puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you're going to leave.
Absolutely.
You know, that employee's going to go back to the job and, you know, if the...
Right.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I have found that communication is the biggest roadblock.
Yes.
For most of those situations,
yeah.
either a hesitancy or a resistance to broach that conversation with someone who is in a higher level position
yeah.
than you are. One of the trainings that we have started doing is, ouch, that stereotype hurts. And mm-hmm. I think I can apply that to several other things that happen in the workplace. You know, ouch, did you really mean to say that? Or
yeah, I love that
did
line.
You really mean yeah. to do that? Do you want to rethink that? And I know I've said before, you know, would you like an adult do-over?
There you go.
And more often than not, if they get it, they'll yeah. say, yeah, okay, take two.
I've been doing training in this particular job for 12 years and, of course, teaching for a decade prior to that.
And you're 22.
I know. I started as a baby. You know, and I've seen the evolution and, of course, dealing with different audiences,
yes.
you know, over the course of all of those decades. And now we're into a period where that generation between, you know, upper 20s to, you know, maybe even early 40s.
Yes.
It's the largest generation in the workplace. It's the largest generation in the world
right
now. And
that may change after the year of COVID, though.
They really do like and are considered those ongoing learners.
Yes.
And they seek it. They crave it. We know that it's their number one thing that they're looking for in employers.
Yes.
And really putting that out there to be an employer of choice, you have to show that we're cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
We do lead with that as an organization. How do you promote that with the city?
It's difficult because, as you know, government things in government tend to move at a turtle's pace. And good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
That's how it has been. I think as we have a large population of our employees retire out of the organization, we're bringing in some of those employees that you know just mentioned and in that age group, and they're refilling those roles. And so I think it helps to have them be the stewards or ambassadors for that evolution of our organization, and they can help us make those strides and encourage continuous learning. Again, I'll go back to performance evaluations because I think it hits most of us. No longer should we be practicing that, let's have that talk, that dreaded talk once a year.
Yeah. Check the box.
Right. We did it. Okay. Yeah. Been there, done that.
Like
it was horrible. And now it's over. I can breathe. We're finding that our younger workforce really values that constant feedback. Mm-hmm. And while I may not need it, if I value that employee, I will give that to them because mm-hmm. I want them to continue doing all of the great things that I hired them to do. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully over time, as our organization continues to evolve, we'll get those key ambassadors in place and they will help us to champion that continued learning mindset.
Yes.
Especially with our younger workforce.
Yeah.
And I like it too. I mean, I don't fall into that category, but I like it when they come up and say, hey, I really appreciated when you did this for me.
Yeah.
And that's almost like a mental post-it note for me to say, ooh, I need to do that for that person too, because that's what they appreciate also.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Learning to speak their language.
Yes, their work language.
Right. I call it their currency of exchange.
Ooh, I like.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that.
Okay. You know, take that down.
That's right.
Take that down. And that's one thing trainers do, right? We borrow and we lend those stories, those anecdotes, those little phrases, you know, and truly, I get it. You know, when you're in government, you're in state agencies, you know, I work, mm-hmm. you know, through the University of Missouri. There's a lot of layers.
There are.
You know, it's a lot of bureaucracy to get through.
It is. But I think, you know, taking it back to what we were saying early on, if you've established and built those relationships consciously, then you can navigate that sometimes, I think, a little bit more easily and effortlessly.
Yeah. Yeah. Your currency exchange goes a lot.
It sure
quicker.
Does.
Absolutely. So overall, when you think of the benefits that organizations realize, you know, what makes the top of your list that makes training good for organizations?
My role, again, for the City of Columbia is I can potentially keep us out of a litigious situation.
All right. We'll put that at the top of the list.
Right. Because no organization, you know, budgets for, hey, I'm going to go to court over a lawsuit for X, Y, and Z. And that's a benefit.
Yes.
And if we can provide that from a single source, do you, every single department head, every single supervisor, and we have about 300 in our organization, do every single one of you want to be responsible for sending that consistent message? Probably not. That's something that a trainer can do. I can continue to update that content, keep it relevant, keep it pertinent, front of mind, track how that is delivered to you and your employees in whatever format that looks like, mm-hmm. and make sure that it is effective and accurate. Yep. That's a huge value.
Yeah. And I think when there's so much competition for employees,
yes,
that because it is the number one thing, that this creative and energetic and just this group of individuals, it's an attraction.
It is.
Making you an employer of choice. And so if I'm competing for that top talent, I have to be able to offer it. And I have to be able to go, look, this is how we're better and different. You know, this is what we're offering in relation to training and development. And then I got to be able to keep them.
Right.
You know, so I got to be able to deliver on that promise. And of course, as a way to develop them.
Yes.
You know, acclimate them to our culture and make it sustainable.
And that's the constant work. I know prior to our conversation here, you know, talking about what were things that you did during maybe that lapse time for COVID. And it's thinking outside the box and how can we continue to invest in our employees? And one of the things that they seek is knowledge. How can I be better? How can I be more effective than my predecessor? And so investing in their knowledge, their education, their effectiveness helps us, I think, retain a lot of those great employees because they know we're going to continue that effort. Training class that I developed 7 years ago is not the same training. The title might be similar, but the content itself, night and day.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to do that. You have to keep it present. You have to keep it fresh, not only to engage those employees, but so that they keep coming back for more. And, so I already attended this training in 2016. That doesn't matter. It's so different now. Come
Are you
back.
Kidding me?
Right.
That's so yesterday.
And then hearing the chatter afterwards, and then people who sit in cubicles next to them or maybe work out for our streets department and work with some of those other employees say, hey, I heard you guys are doing classes on city interviews and applications, and how can I get in on that? Oh, so you're interested in training. Come hither.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Here's an application. You know, so we've, you know, put some thought and effort into how do we not only get them interested in training and not see it as a punitive task that they have to check off of a box on an evaluation or something else that they've been asked or told to do, but rather they want to do it because they want to improve themselves.
Yes. Yeah. I had an organization call me and say, oh, we just mandated a 52-hour requirement.
Bless your
training.
Heart.
And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry for
right.
you. You know, I was just like,
micromanaging, you know, because, mandating,
yeah.
those two words should never be used.
And I just thought, those poor people.
Yes.
You know, and so then we kind of talked through that and we got them to open up like what that might look like as far as requirements. And
yes.
so, you know, could they listen to a podcast?
Yes.
And they were like, oh, okay, we'll allow that. You know, could they mm-hmm. attend a Facebook Live, you know, which,
yes.
you know, and they're like, okay, we'll allow that. And I was like, whoosh, you know, I mean,
right.
it's not just a 6 hour butt in seats kind of thing. So
which you end up losing their attention span and they don't retain.
No.
That content after about 45 minutes.
I know.
So I'm glad you're thinking outside the box.
Oh, like my goodness.
Trainers do.
Yeah. You talked about training from 2016. I trained live virtually this morning and I was changing it last night. So I'm just like,
yes,
I'm all about that. I'm all about that. All right. Wrap up. Working at the city, you probably have trained a lot of different types of jobs, right?
Yes.
So a lot of technical degrees, I would assume. I mean, engineers, people with technical skills.
Yes.
So what is it like teaching more of the soft skills, those relational skills, to those very technical people?
Great question. I know that when supervisors throughout our organization participate in our STAR training or supervisor training and resources training, the first class that we have is Leadership Explored. Let's talk about and let's identify in work groups. What would you identify as the top 10 skills that are required for you to be in leadership and management? And so in their table groups, they jotted several things down on their handouts. And I said, okay, great. Now go back and circle the top five you think your staff would say is essential for a good leader. Great. So then let's write it down because I'm a visual person. Write it down on a dry erase board. And I would go back and write all of it down. And then go back and circle the ones that employees felt were key and integral to being able to be an effective supervisor, manager, leader. And I would say 95% or more of the time, they self-identified softer power skills, not technical skills.
Sure.
And so at that point, they could see, oh, we don't need her to teach us how to be an engineer. We need help identifying how to connect with our employees, give them what they are looking for. And more often or not, we need help with these softer power skills.
Yeah.
And so I explained to them throughout all of the courses they would take throughout their program that a majority of those courses are going to be focusing on soft skills. And you have to have those in order to keep and retain good employees.
Yes.
So that's how I have approached it. They had to have that light bulb go off for themselves.
Of course.
To identify whether or not they needed that soft skills training. Because I think if I had just thrown it out there in a catalog, they would have gone, yep, don't need that one. Don't need that one. Don't need that one. When in fact they do.
Yeah.
But they had that self-actualizing moment where, oh, yeah, not only do I see it as valuable, but my employees would too. That's where I was able to integrate that training and they found purpose for it.
Right. I often find highly technical people don't like to be wrong.
Correct.
And in this instance, what I loved about what you did is you made them right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which addresses one and of the things earlier.
Exactly.
You know, if it's the issue you're having is with the person in leadership, you don't tell them that they're wrong. You just get them to find ways to make it right.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah. And it taps their motivation.
It
and
does.
Now they're open to that learning.
And it's their idea.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Debbie, thank you so, so much for joining me today.
Thank
it's
you.
So great connecting with you.
Yes.
I like talking with other trainers and people that do what I do. It's inspirational to me.
So, me as well. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. So I just want to be signing off. I want to tell all of you out there, go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.